see you now. Is it not past 2 o'clock and here much, Orlando?
I warrant you, with pure love and troubled brain, he has taken his bow and arrows and has gone forth to sleep.
Oh,
Phoebe.
Who comes here?
My errand is to you, fair youth. My gentle Phoebe did bid me give you this. I know not the contents, but as I guessed by the stern brow and waspish action which she did use as she was writing of it, it bears an angry tenor. Pardon me, I am but as a guiltless messenger.
Patience herself would startle at this letter and play the swaggerer, bear this, bear all. She says I am not fair, that I lack manners. She calls me proud, and that she could not love me were man as rare as Phoenix. What's my will, her love is not the hare that I do hunt. Why is she so to me?
Well, shepherd, well. This is a letter of your own device.
Oh, no, I protest. I know not the contents. Phoebe did write it.
Come, you are a fool. And turned into the extremity of love. I saw her hand. She has a leathern hand, a freestone-coloured hand. I verily did think that her old gloves were on, but 'twas her hands. She has a housewife's hands, but that's no matter. I say, she never did invent this letter. This is a man's invention and his hand.
Sure, it is hers.
Why, it is a boisterous and a cruel style. A style for challengers. Will you hear this letter?
So please you, for I never heard it yet. Yet heard too much of Phoebe's cruelty.
She Phoebe's me. Mark how the tyrant writes. Art thou God to shepherd turned, that a maiden's heart hath burned? Can a woman rail thus?
Call you this railing?
Why, thy Godhead laid apart, warrest thou with a woman's heart? Did you ever hear such railing?
Eh?
Whilst you chid me, I did love. How then might your prayers move? He that brings this love to thee little knows this love in me. And by him seal up thy mind, whether that thy youth and kind will the faithful offer take of me and all that I can make. Or else by him my love deny. And then I'll study how to die.
Call you this chiding?
Alas, poor shepherd.
Do you pity him?
No. He deserves no pity. Wilt thou love such a woman? What, to make thee an instrument and play full strains upon thee? Not to be endured? Well, go your way to her. For I see love hath made thee a tame snake. And say this to her. If she love me, I charge her to love thee. If she will not, I will never have her unless thou entreat for her. If you are a true lover, hence, and not a word. Here comes more company.
More fair ones. Pray you, if you know, where in the purlieus of this forest stands a sheepcote fenced about with olive trees?
West of this place, down in the neighbour bottom. The rank of osiers by the murmuring stream, left on your right hand, brings you to the place. But at this hour, the house doth keep itself. There's none within.
If that an eye may profit by a tongue, then should I know you by description. Such garments and such years. The boy is fair, of female favour, and bestows himself like a ripe sister. The woman low, and browner than her brother. Are not you the owner of the house I did inquire for?
It is no boast, being asked, to say we are.
Orlando doth commend him to you both. Oh. And to that youth he calls his Rosalind, he sends this bloody napkin. Are you he?
I am. What must we understand by this?
Some of my shame. If you will know of me, what man I am, and how, and why, and where this handkerchief was stained.
I pray you tell it.
When last the young Orlando parted from you, he left a promise to return again within an hour. And pacing through the forest, chewing the food of sweet and bitter fancy, lo, what befell. He threw his eye aside, and mark what object it present itself. Under an oak, whose boughs were mossed with age, and high top bald with dry antiquity, a wretched, ragged man, o'ergrown with hair, lay sleeping on his back. About his neck, a green and gilded snake hath weaved itself, who with her head, nimble in threats, approached the opening of his mouth. But suddenly, seeing Orlando, it unlinked itself, and with indented glides did slip away into a bush, under which bush's shade, a lioness, with udders all drawn dry, lay couching, head on ground, with cat-like watch, when that the sleeping man should stir. For 'tis the royal disposition of that beast to prey on nothing that doth seem as dead. This scene, Orlando did approach the man, and found it was his brother, his elder brother.
Oh, are you his brother?
Just you he rescued.
Just you that did so oft contrive to kill him.
'Twas I, but 'tis not I. I do not shame to tell you what I was, since my conversion so sweetly tastes, being the thing I am.
But for the bloody napkin.
By and by. When from the first to last, betwixt us two, tears our accountments had most kindly bathed, as how I came into that desert place, in brief, he led me to the gentle Duke, who gave me fresh array and entertainment, committing me unto my brother's love, who led me instantly unto his cave. There stripped himself, and here, upon his arm, the lioness had torn some flesh away, which all this while had bled. And now he fainted, and cried, in fainting, upon Rosalind. Brief, I recovered him, bound up his wound, and after some small space, being strong at heart, he sent me hither, stranger as I am, to tell this story, that you might excuse his broken promise, and to give this napkin, dyed in his blood, unto the shepherd youth that he in sport doth call his Rosalind.
Oh. Oh, why, how now, Ganymede? Sweet Ganymede!
Many will swoon when they do look on blood.
There is more in it. Cousin Ganymede.
Look, he recovers.
Oh, I would I were at home.
We'll lead you thither. I pray you, will you take him by the arm?
Be of good cheer, youth. You a man? You lack a man's heart.
I do so, I confess it.
Ah, sirrah. A body would think this was well counterfeited. I pray you tell your brother how well I counterfeited. Theo.
This was not counterfeit. There is too great testimony in your complexion that it was a passion of earnest.
Counterfeit, I assure you.
Well, then, take a good heart and counterfeit to be a man.
So I do. For faith, I should have been a woman by right.
Come, you look paler and paler. Pray you, draw homewards. Good sir, go with us.
That will I. For I must bear answer back how you excuse my brother, Rosalind.
I shall devise something. But I pray you, commend my counterfeiting to him. Will you go?